Welcome to the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast. I am super excited for today's episode. It is round two of our Starting a Homestead from Scratch series with my one and only sister, Jenna. In our very first episode in this little mini series, we talked all about what it's like to buy your first property, the ups and downs, the whole roller coaster experience. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about all things dreaming and goal setting. How big is too big of a goal? How to start getting those creative juices flowing as far as putting those goals down on paper and everything in between. It's going to be good. I'm your host, Jill Winger, and this is the podcast for the trailblazers, the mavericks, the makers, the homesteaders, the modern pioneers, and the backyard farmers. If you're ready to boost your food security and live a more homegrown lifestyle, well, this is the podcast for you. Hey, friend, I'm interrupting this episode for just a second to talk mason jars because obviously they're one of my favorite homestead tools in existence. Naturally, I use mason jars for canning, but I also love them as a go-to for everyday pantry storage and for holding my DIY cleaning supplies. Recap mason jar lids are my secret weapon for converting regular old jars into shakers, spray bottles, soap pumps, and pourable containers. Most recently, I have fallen in love with their straining lids because I just started experimenting with kefir, and these lids are seriously reducing the amount of dishes I have to do each day after I feed my kefir. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about when I say kefir, well, we'll be covering that in a future podcast episode, so stay tuned. Anyway, when Recap Lids heard how much I love using these lids and strainers, they put together a special kit just for podcast listeners in July. Use coupon code HOMESTEAD and take 20% off the already discounted price of this set, which includes lids for two regular mouth and one wide mouth jar with shaker inserts. And you can use them for way more than just kefir. You can use them to make salad dressings, lemonade, and so much more. Head on over to theprairiehomestead.com/lid to have a look. Now, back to our episode. Hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
So what's new on the homestead?
Well, we've had a lot of mouse drama. Typically occurs around 3 a.m. when my dog runs outside to quote unquote go pee and then brings in a mouse. That's been taking up a lot of my brain power. Mm-hmm. We also
Sorry, I was gonna say something, but go ahead, keep going.
I was just gonna say we have had a lot of grasshoppers in the last 24 hours, little mini teensy tiny things. So that's been kind of the extent of it. I just got done working my stretch. So haven't been home very much. We're getting
312s. Is that what you told me? 312s.
Yeah. Sometimes I do 312s and a 4 right now. Cause I'm in a program at the hospital, but yeah. So pretty much don't spend any time at home for 3 days in a row. And then I get to be at the house, homestead, farm, whatever we're going to call it. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet, for mm-hmm. 4 days.
How do you feel like once you start getting more like animals and things growing, do you feel like will Tyson be able to do chores on those days you're really intensely working? Or do you think it'll be something you still have margin for when you get home?
Ideally, I would have margin for that. The first couple days of work have made it feel like that may not be a possibility because I'm definitely getting home at like 9 at night. And then, you know, you have to get that 5 the next morning. So you just can eat dinner, pack lunch for the next day and kind of stumble into bed. I think I'm going to get more of a system down. And also Tyson is still working from home. So, and he's super handy, pretty much a keeper. And so I think that, all systems go. So I think that, he'll be able to do a lot of the chores and upkeep should I not be able to for those 3 days a week. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, it's funny you mentioned that, and I hope it's okay I bring this up now, but I was I was kind of beating myself up this week because I was going, man, I still have boxes that are not unpacked. Our house doesn't really look like it's ours yet. I've planted all of 2 basil and 2 tomato plants. I feel like I'm kind of failing this like self-sustainable lifestyle homesteading thing. But then kind of going back to our conversation last week of like, it's not going to look the same for us as it did for you guys. You guys, didn't you work a full-time job when you very first bought your house? Yeah. So like where you guys are at now, where you both still work full-time, but you work from home and you're kind of able to work your schedules out around all of your home responsibilities. It's our turn to kind of take those responsibilities and figure out how they're going to fit into our life. And it's okay if it doesn't look the same as what you guys did or do.
Right. And I also think you need to cut yourself a little slack, just a little, because you're starting a new job, which is not a simple job. Like it's nursing, your first nursing job after graduating, plus moving far away from where you were living before, you know, whatever, 3 hours you said. Okay. So that's a considerable move and you're moving in. So 2 or 3 big life changes and you still planted 2 basil and tomato. I would say that is something to feel good about. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, the basil's dying, but it still is in the ground. So
still planted it. So
thank you. I really appreciate that. Maybe optimism.
If the grasshoppers don't eat it.
Thank you.
I don't know how to help you with that. If they do.
You know what? I think it might just be kind of cathartic to go out and kill each one of them one by one. I'll keep you updated.
For sure. Or if you get chickens, they will eat those grasshoppers and that's highly entertaining. They will chase them down.
We want chickens. Can chickens live?
Is a segue into our topic for today.
Did you see what We didn't even plan it. It's all natural, folks.
Brilliant. So what I wanted to dive into today is just goals. I just wanted to get a brain dump of what you want to do with this property, because this is the same process I think anyone who buys a property is going to take. Mm-hmm. You got this blank slate or mostly blank slate, and you have all these ideas. All these visions. So how on earth do we start figuring out what we're going to do now, what we're going to do later, what we're going to do at all, maybe the things we skip, and just start creating a plan. So I think today should be our goal brain dump. What do you think?
I think that's great. I might've just burped. Is that okay? Did someone hear me do that? Should I not have said anything?
You should have not said anything because I didn't hear it. So
that's okay. We're just going to keep moving like it didn't happen.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Everyone knows, and they're going to be thinking about it, but it's fine.
I told you I'm sure real and vulnerable.
Brene Brown would be proud.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I want her to be proud of me. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Brain dump. Where should I dump?
So I think it is Christian just texted me and he took Sage, which she's our third born. I know you know that, but other people might
Thank
not know.
Thank you. Yeah. Makes me sound like the worst aunt ever. I know who Sage is.
Apparently, he took her to town and I was going to brush her hair and then I forgot and he just texted me and he's like, Sage looks homeless. Yes, she does. She does look homeless. So Christian is taking her all over town and I'm sure, it'll be great.
Are you guys getting her a new bike?
No, the whole world was still out of bikes. So
yeah, that's weird. I noticed that the other day.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was completely off topic.
It's fine.
Coming back. Okay. So
Focus.
I think it's really important before you guys actually start working on projects, because I know there's this temptation to dive into projects, to get your end goals in mind first. Otherwise it's really easy to create a lot of busy work for yourself and spin your wheels and do a lot of halfway starts.
Yes.
Like start something, pivot. And then that just is expensive and very time consuming. And you're not going to feel like you get that satisfaction of the win.
Yep.
So, just tell me, I guess, what's your end goal? What's your end game here?
I think, I've never had to put it into words. I think that I can picture what I want our end game to be. I don't think that we necessarily we're not going for like 100% like off the grid, fully self-sustained living, but we definitely want to be more self-sustained than any type of lifestyle we've had before. So I think we know that we want to be able to raise our own meat. We know that we want to be able to have our own chickens. We know that we want to have a garden. I would love for that garden to actually be like more greenhouse. That's always been a dream of mine. We want it to, I shy away from the term hobby farm because I feel like that's saying like we're doing it all just for fun. I want it to be more of like a, where we have a working system within our land that we're able to utilize the resources that we've already been given to the best of their abilities to benefit ourselves and our neighbors. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's our end goal, is to utilize our property to the best of its abilities.
I like that. Okay. How about like, so when you say, you know, to be more self-sufficient, give me an, I know this is hard, but just do your best guess. Give me a number or like a percentage of, if I produced this percentage of our food every year, I would feel 100% satisfied with that.
Oh, I like that. I think at this point in my life, 50%.
50%. Okay.
Is that reasonable?
For sure. Absolutely.
We don't, with me working full time, and we don't know when Tyson's going to actually have to start going back to the office, which that'll be kind of a substantial commute for him. We don't want to commit to a milk cow. So we'll always need to be able to buy our dairy aside from eggs. Mm-hmm. So any sort of like a milk cow is out of the question.
What about a milk goat?
Yeah. So let's just not relive the trauma I have from when I nannied for you for that summer. And Giselle,
there was nothing wrong with that. It was fine.
Giselle, there was a lot wrong with Giselle.
Giselle had problems.
I think that's so, the summer I started cussing. Anywho, anywhoozles.
So,
yeah.
Was that when, so we used to have these goats. It was our first goats. And for those of you who've listened or not listened to my blog, read my blog for a long time, you remember like my Goat 101 series, which I do believe was one of the first and foremost goat blog posts things on the internet at the time. Anyway, we had two black and white Nubians, and I had purchased them when I was 8 months pregnant, and they were also pregnant. So we mm-hmm. kitted / birthed within 4 days of each other.
Yeah.
So when my family came to meet their my first child and their first niece and their first grandchild, they also got to midwife goats. Which was mm-hmm. extremely dramatic, also mm-hmm. maybe traumatic based on your experiences that you're reliving as we speak.
It's just that it took so long to fill the bucket, and it was such a cold, calculated move every morning when she kicked it over, you know? You know?
She's always not my favorite.
And she rejected her baby.
She did.
Which, who does that?
Yeah. Goats will do that. That's who does it.
Yeah, exactly. So goats are out. You just answered your own question.
That's fine. So no goats, but I think that could change, but it's fine. I'll mm-hmm. just take mm-hmm. your word for it. And then mm-hmm. no cows, which is fair. So, I mean, you live in enough of an area where there's other little acreages that maybe you'd find someone you could trade, right? There's a lot of people who milk goats, milk cows now,
for sure,
comparatively. So you could do some bartering even.
For sure.
Or find a local source. Because Idaho has pretty decent raw milk laws, don't they?
Yeah.
You can buy it.
Yeah.
Or even?
Yeah, I've gotten it from co-ops for years. It's pretty unregulated in that sense.
Sweet. So that's, I feel like, a good one to say, not now. Not right
yes.
now. That's a good one to
put yes. back.
Okay. So we're looking at 50%. What comes to mind is like the one that really calls to you first?
The chickens. Exciting.
The chickens. Okay. Yes.
The chickens.
Probably no. let's ease you in slowly. So definitely laying hens.
Yes. First.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned you did want to produce your own meat. So how do you envision that happening?
Well, that's where my questions come in, okay. Because I'm happy to raise them. And it's so ironic because like I was like hunter extraordinaire for a good period of my life. And I really enjoyed it. That was like how I spent most of my time. Something mm-hmm. happened or broke within me. And I don't know that I can butcher my own animals anymore. I'm going to try, but I don't know if I can. So like, can you ask someone to butcher your chickens for you? Or is that like the lamest thing ever?
No, you can. I mean, it's usually easier to find a butcher for a pig or a steer than it is chickens, but there are places that will take chickens. And being in the part of Idaho you're in, there's enough small farms and agriculture, you might find someone, even if you had to drive a little while, where you could take in a group of chickens and have them process it. So that would be something I would start looking into before you get your meat birds.
How do you transport a group of chickens?
It depends on how big the group is. If it's a lot, you could put them in a small stock trailer, like herd them in or put them in. Or if it's just a few, you could use a big dog crate. That's what we do all the time.
Okay, cool.
A kennel, a wire kennel. So
it's not hard. All right. Okay, cool. Had to know.
Yeah.
Chickens. And then I think we're going to try having a couple pigs. And then we also, I think by next summer, we would like to have our own meat cow. Or two.
Steer. Okay. Meat cow.
Steer. Meat cow.
Sorry.
You're
sounded weird.
Shut up. You can have milk cows. Why can't you have meat cows?
It's fine. I'm not making fun of you. I'm laughing
meat
with
cows.
You.
Yeah. Okay. I can see you.
Okay. Yeah. And the thing about pigs and steers, or if you're raising a heifer for beef, is that they're pretty easy. Like, you need to have a pin that a pig won't get out of, because pigs are going to stay in wire fence usually. But as long as you have some sort of pin, you just feed them kitchen scraps, feed them lots of food. And it's pretty hands off. And the same with a steer. Like, I feel like raising beef is one of the easiest things we do.
Really?
On pasture. Yeah. Or we feed them hay in the winter. It's a lot simpler. And then we do take those animals to be processed, because we don't have the ability to do a steer, because it has to hang, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We can do our own pigs, but we just like having the cuts done by someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
I haven't had that training. So if you can find a good butcher,
I'm not worried about that. We have a lot around here.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking that could be as soon as next year on those?
We both have said, yes, we want to. Okay. Yes. At least for the steer.
Yes.
Not the meat cow.
AKA meat cow. Okay, what about your garden stuff? Have you mapped out your garden location yet?
I'm close. I'll just be honest. I've been kind of wondering if it's the right balance of sunlight and shade. Anywhere I've ever lived before, the garden spot has been pre-existing and decided for me, and I've just never put any thought into it. I just put my food in the ground, and things grew sometimes. And I was grateful for whatever I got. And so there is no established garden here whatsoever. Okay. And our house faces east, and our property lot runs like lengthwise east.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spot to the north of our house that is pretty open.
Okay.
And it seems, you know, gets a decent amount of sunlight, but it does get some evening shade.
That's fine.
I didn't know if there's something I should be looking for. We can pretty much put it anywhere except for in the forest.
Oh, right. Don't put it in the forest for sure.
No.
That would be bad. Okay. So we'll talk about some of the more details of this. So what I'm picturing for our next episode is we will take, once we kind of figure out what you want to focus on first, we're going to take these, and I call it my get it done method.
Oh,
and we'll
break
it down into these bite-sized steps. It just helps a lot of people to visualize. But just in the meantime, something you might do, because I know you're home the next few days, is do sun mapping. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to go out and create a very simple sketch of your yard area.
Okay.
Anywhere that might be a prospective spot for a garden, you're just going to, like, the house will just be a square, right? And then you might put the trees in little dots. So just put it on a piece of paper and make 4 copies.
Okay.
And then you're going to watch throughout the day, set a timer on your phone, like start at 8 o'clock. And I like to use colored pencils because it's fun and artistic.
Because you're a nerd.
I know. And I will use colored pencils to sketch in where the sun is. So if it's all sun, I just color the whole thing yellow. If it's, you know, if I got some dappled sunlight filtering through the trees, then I'll color it maybe orange. If it is definitely 100% shade, I'll color it brown.
And interesting.
Then do that throughout the day 4 times. So maybe like 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. And it'll surprise you. I was really surprised. Some places I thought were going to be super shady actually had very little shade as I tracked it throughout the day.
Okay. Okay. So you might, that's awesome.
Yeah. Start that now. And we'll dive deeper into garden planning on the next episode, but that'll be good homework to come into.
Awesome. Awesome. Perfect. I can do that.
Yeah. It's good info to have. Okay. So we're still figuring out garden location, chickens potentially. What I like to do is have, when it comes to the homestead task, because you have other parts of your life, right? You have your family right. and you have your job, which is kind of important right now.
Yeah,
a little bit time consuming. But then the homestead stuff. So I like to pick one to two, but I would say one would be ideal right now. One main objective for the year.
Okay.
So we have half the year left, roughly, at the time of this recording. So what do you feel like your one main objective would be for your homestead in 2020?
Well, what we've already actually agreed on, and I would assume this counts, is we need a tractor because we live in a massive, massive, massive snow belt, which that's one of the reasons I chose to live here. Like, that is not a curse for us. That is a huge blessing. I cannot wait. However, we live on a private road. We have about a fourth of a mile long driveway, and all of our neighbors have very kindly come over and been like, "Hey, please get a tractor because you are not going to believe it." So we're currently searching for one of those. It's crazy competitive here trying to get one, like cutthroat crazy. Typically, I think they're on Craigslist for 1 to 2 hours and then they go away.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, it's like for a big expenditure, that's our big end goal.
Okay.
For 2020. Good. Yeah.
Okay. Then I like how you're budgeting that out.
Basically. Yeah.
To not overextend. Okay. So maybe this would be a good example of where you would have two main objectives. So I really like the idea of a tractor is number one, because you kind of need to have it to be able to like go to work this winter. Sort of important. And then number two, what's, I guess, infrastructure wise, or not, and that just sounds fancy. I'm not talking about building a building. I'm just talking, what is something you could do with the rest of 2020 that would set you up for towards some of these goals, which like your main one that you really want to get nailed down before the year ends?
I think a chicken coop.
Okay.
Is that me working? Cause I'm just thinking like, what can we do to be prepared to bring animals onto our property in the spring? Do you buy them in the spring?
You do buy chickens. I mean, you can buy them in the fall, but most people get them in the spring.
So
easier.
I think that would be probably something that we would want to start getting done just so that we can be ready to rock and roll, not trying to slop through things the last minute next spring.
Okay. Awesome. I like that. What do you feel like? And this is a little bit far ahead and you always can change it and it will always shift. But as far as 2021, what do you feel like your main objective would be as far as infrastructure for next year?
A shop.
What about garden? Getting your garden. Okay.
Yeah. It's hard because by next summer and I'm curious if this is realistic, but like in my mind, I picture, okay, by next summer, I want us to have hopefully a steer, a shop, a garden, chickens. So I've kind of been putting that on myself of like, yeah, we should be able to get that by June 2021.
Okay. That's possible. Yeah.
No.
Wait, did you say steer, shop, garden, chickens?
Yeah.
After?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps I should reset my expectations.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like ambitiousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I prize that highly.
Yeah, you've demonstrated that in your life.
I just don't want you to feel overextended. Okay. But I mean, none of those things are hard. As long as you can plan ahead enough and chunk them out, I think it's absolutely doable. It's just having a plan. Because as you will find, especially with the different seasons, garden, you know, planting season, chicken season, harvest season, they sneak up on you really quickly. You'll feel like you put the seeds in and you're like, oh, I have so much time before I have to figure out what to do with the harvest. And it's like, you snap your fingers and it's, oh my gosh, it's on top of me. I'm busy. I don't know what to do. We're traveling. We're on vacation. Oh my gosh. So just having that planning ahead is really important. But yeah, I think it's doable.
Okay. So all right.
My last question for you, and again, we will go into these and break these down step by step
for sure
next week.
For sure.
But my next last question is, what's your crazy audacious goal for your property or your homestead or whatever you're doing here? What is your crazy goal that is like almost feels ridiculous to speak out loud?
And we're not talking within the next 1 to 2 years.
No. Just like it could be way down the road. There's not necessarily a specific date on it yet.
I don't know. It doesn't, when you use the word audacious, I'm like, I don't know if it's audacious, but like our big, huge end goal for our property is eventually we will have a family. Mm-hmm. And it will not fit in this house. And so we want to build our dream home. We're already saving for a dream home. And we would like to have it built here on the property, back in the trees a little ways. Mm-hmm. And then something that both has been on my heart and Tyson's heart separately, even before we met each other, is just kind of how we want to be able to serve our community. And we feel like one of the ways to do that is to provide some, we aren't sure exactly how this is going to look, but we want to have an extra house on our property where we welcome people in need into that home, where we're able to provide them with kind of a centered way of life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, just a way to meet people in their crisis and offer them a safe place to stay. And then also just kind of a healing environment of, I just think of how many times I came to your house after getting my heart broke or having, you know, a rough 6 months at work and feeling that healing of just getting to be in the country. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to give that to other people. Tyson wants that. So we want our big house.
Yes.
And then we want the extra house. And then we want to have all of the facilities to be able to operate independently within our property.
Yes. I love that. And I love that your two crazy goals, which aren't that crazy. They're not, but it's good. Well, let me say this first. I love to push people to speak the thing that feels almost impossible. And then not that those feel necessarily impossible, but I always will push them to go past the point of what they feel is rational or mm-hmm. what everyone around them has told them, oh, you can do this, but no more. Because when we stretch our brain out, even though our brain might go, oh my gosh, it's not going to happen there. How are you going to do that? You don't have the skills or the money or whatever. It just opens us up to the possibilities.
And absolutely.
I've noticed time and time again, when I stretch myself and especially when I speak it out loud to someone, just things shift. It's just really interesting. And I love yes. that your two big goals, one had to do with you, like the new house, but one had to do with service. I think mm-hmm. it's really important that when we set these goals, you know, there's some that I have, they're just selfish. Like, you know, we wanted our shop or we wanted an addition on our house, but being able to step outside of ourselves and go, how can what I want to do and what I'm being called to do serve the greater good or serve people or show up for people is really important. So I like that you already just had that in mind.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for not thinking we're crazy.
Oh, I will never think you're crazy on that. Maybe for other things, but never for big, yeah. big things.
Yeah, so, everything else.
Speaking of crazy, I wanted to read this little teeny bit from this book. It's called The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Because I know some of you listening may have some really crazy audacious goals for your life in general, or maybe your homestead specifically. Maybe it's you want to start a farmer's market someday, or you want to create a bed and breakfast on your property, or you want to help troubled kids with your homestead, or you want to travel the world and train people how to cook better. I don't know what it is, but do not let go of those. Do not let society or life or being an adult discourage you from that, because doing the unrealistic is often easier than doing the realistic. And I love this part of this book because he talks about this and he says, this is a quote from this book by Tim Ferriss, 99% of people in the world are convinced they are incapable of achieving great things. So they aim for mediocre. The level of competition is thus fiercest for realistic goals, paradoxically making them the most time and energy consuming. Having an unusually large goal is an adrenaline infusion that provides the endurance to overcome the inevitable trials and tribulations that go along with any goal. Realistic goals, goals restricted to average ambition level, are uninspiring and will only fuel you through the first or second problem, at which point you throw in the towel. So I just thought it was a cool little.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that good?
You bought me that book probably 10 years ago.
Are you serious? I did?
Yep. Well, I still have it.
I should have asked for it back because I read it 10 years ago. Obviously, I thought it was cool enough to buy you a copy that you didn't read.
Oh, you loved it.
But
yeah.
But then I actually completely forgot almost everything in it and I had to rebuy a copy because I'm like, oh, that book was good. I don't remember why I liked it, but anyway, I'm rereading it. So
I will read it.
Read it. It's good.
I will read it.
So yeah.
Cool.
So anything else you want to say before we wrap up our crazy goal episode?
No, you've given me some really good things to think about and work on. It's always, it's just awesome. It's awesome to get to talk to you about it because it gets me excited again. Not that I haven't been excited, but you get into the like day-to-day of work and everything and you start going like, oh, it'll happen, I guess. But it's good. Yeah. It keeps things alive. So
yeah,
thank you.
I'm excited for next week too.
Me too.
Action items.
Yeah, baby.
Awesome. Alrighty. Well, my listening friends, if you are ready to start your own homestead and get a little uncomfortable because that is where the magic lies outside of that comfort zone, but you're not quite sure how or where to start, well, that is my specialty. I just so happen to have an entire library of resources put together for homesteaders just like you, and you can get complimentary access to this library over at theprairiehomestead.com/grow. And that is it for today. Don't forget to hit subscribe so all the new episodes show up automatically in your favorite podcast player. And thanks for listening. I appreciate you being here. And we will catch up again on the next episode of the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast.